Welcome to Afterglow. I'm your host, Mark Chella. Between 1947 and 1960, the American entertainment industry was embroiled in a manufactured scandal. The threat of communism had apparently run amok. Artists were forced to testify before Congress, and countless entertainers were blacklisted for their communist ties. While the blacklist was mostly applied to Hollywood screenwriters, many in the music industry were also affected. This hour, we'll explore the history of the so-called red channels in music and hear how it affected singers and songwriters like Frank Sinatra, Lena Horne, Yip Harburg, and more. It's the Great American Songbook Blacklist, coming up next on Afterglow.
Swing that hammer. Swing that hammer, swing it higher above your head, making little ones out of big ones. Hammer, kill you. Almost dead. If I ever leave this chain gang, I am coming home once more. Mama, mama, scorn me, do not turn me from your door. Swing it high, boys, swing it low, boys, swing that hammer till you high, boys, high. Swing it low.
Harry Belafonte in 1960 with the old chain gang melody called Swing Dat Hammer. Belafonte was a strong civil rights activist and admirer of singer and communist sympathizer Paul Robeson. In the 1950s, he was one of the many artists who found himself blacklisted for his progressive beliefs. Mark Chilla here on Afterglow. On this show, we're exploring how the repercussions of the Hollywood blacklist and the wave of anti-communism in the 1950s permeated the world of popular music. In the wake of World War II, a certain strain of anti-Soviet sentiment began to grow. The Soviets and their communist form of government were seen as strongly opposed to Americans and their capitalist system. Communism was thought of as a progressive idea favored by the left, and so other progressive ideas that could be grouped with the Soviets were deemed un-American. This includes support for New Deal politics, civil rights, racial integration, and anti-lynching laws. The seeds of this progressivism in the world of music begins even before the war. No doubt many musicians could be deemed progressive in their politics, but likely none more than songwriter Abel Meeropol. Meeropol was an English teacher by trade, but unlike many who were just accused of being a communist, Meeropol was actually a member of the American Communist Party. He was a strong supporter of progressive ideas, and even adopted the children of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg after their parents were executed by the U.S. government for Soviet espionage. Abel Meeropol was also a poet and a songwriter, who sometimes published under the pseudonym Lewis Allen. His works were, more often than not, very politically charged. His most famous song comes from the late 1930s, the anti-lynching anthem Strange Fruit, which he also set to music. Strange Fruit was a powerful statement, a dark and graphic exposé of the horrors of lynching in the South. It was brought to the attention of Barney Josephson, the owner of the first integrated nightclub in New York City called Cafe Society. Josephson gave the song to Billie Holiday, who first performed it there in 1939. Strange Fruit would become a staple of Holiday's sets at Cafe Society. It was the finale of every performance she gave there, and it became almost like a quasi-religious experience for those in the audience. The progressive Cafe Society fell victim to the anti-communist furor in the 1950s. Josephson's brother was a communist labor lawyer and a Soviet spy. After he was questioned by the House Un-American Activities Committee in 1947, the fallout spilled over onto Barney. Bad press caused Barney Josephson to close Cafe Society in 1948. Here now is Billie Holiday in 1939 with Strange Fruit on Afterglow.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh, then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange and big I
Billie Holiday in 1939 with Strange Fruit, a song written by progressive activist and communist sympathizer Abel Meeropol. Strange Fruit was not Meeropol's only contribution to the Great American Songbook. Another notable song of his was The House I Live In, which he co-wrote with Earl Robinson in 1942. The House I Live In was a song of inclusivity in America and was repurposed in the 1945 short film of the same name starring Frank Sinatra. In the film, Sinatra, as himself, encounters a group of young boys bullying a Jewish boy. He performs this song to the children to teach them a lesson of tolerance. The film, written by Albert Maltz, was given an honorary Academy Award and a Golden Globe shortly after its release. Then, in 1947, Albert Maltz testified before Congress for his communist sympathies. And in a very famous testimony, he refused to answer the question of whether or not he was a member of the Communist Party. For this refusal, Albert Maltz was named one of the Hollywood Ten, a group of 10 screenwriters and filmmakers cited for contempt of Congress and blacklisted from the industry for over a decade. Here now is Frank Sinatra in 1945 with The House I Live In on Afterglow.
What is America to me? A name, a map, or a flag I see? A certain word, democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religions, that's America to me. The place I work in, the worker by my side, the little town or city where my people lived and died, the howdy and the handshake, the air of feeling free, and the right to speak my mind out, that's America to me. The things I see about me, the big things and the small, the little corner newsstand, and the house a mile tall, the wedding and the churchyard, the laughter and the tears, the dream that's been a-growing for 150 years. The town I live in, the street, the house, the room, the pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom, the church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see, but especially the people, that's America.
The House I Live In, sung by Frank Sinatra in 1945. That song was written by Abel Meeropol and Earl Robinson and was featured in a short film written by Albert Maltz. Frank Sinatra himself was no stranger to progressive causes. Sinatra's mother was a progressive activist in Hoboken, New Jersey, and Sinatra later supported John F. Kennedy's campaign for president in 1960. He was also a target of J. Edgar Hoover's FBI for supposed communist ties, although he was never questioned by HUAC, McCarthy, or even blacklisted from the industry. In fact, Sinatra was part of the wave that helped bring down the blacklist in 1960, but more on that later. Abel Mirapol, the co-writer of The House I Live In, was nowhere near famous enough to be blacklisted by the entertainment industry, despite being a self-identified communist. However, the other co-writer of that song, Earl Robinson, was. Robinson was a composer and arranger, and like Mirapol, many of his works showcased his liberal viewpoints. For instance, he was the co-writer of the 1956 Pete Seeger song, Black and White, a song all about integration that was also later sung by Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, a child is black or a child is white. The whole world looks upon the sight. What a beautiful sight. Oh, very well, the whole world knows.
Pete Seeger was also blacklisted for his progressive views. But most notably, Earl Robinson wrote the song Ballad for Americans, a sprawling 13-minute cantata showcasing America's diversity and history from the perspective of Uncle Sam, the spirit of America. The Ballad for Americans was written in 1939, and it resonated with people on both sides of the political aisle. It was actually featured at national conventions of both the Republican and Communist parties for the 1940 U.S. presidential election. The first and most famous version was sung by Paul Robeson, the African-American opera star. Robeson had been a supporter of progressive causes for many years, and he was highly critical of fascism and racial segregation. His involvement in organizations sympathetic to communism put him in front of Congress in the 1950s. Like Albert Maltz did in 1947, Robeson refused to give in to questioning, and he became one of the highest-profile victims of anti-communism and McCarthyism in the 1950s. He was blacklisted from the entertainment industry and even barred from traveling abroad by the U.S. government. Here he is in 1939 calling for equality in the epic cantata Ballad for Americans on Afterglow.
'76, the sky was red, thunder rumbling overhead. Bad King George couldn't sleep in his bed, and on that stormy morn, old Uncle Sam was born. Old Sam put on a three-cornered hat, and in a Richmond church he sat, and Patrick Henry told him that, while America drew breath, it was liberty or death.
What kind of hat is a three-cornered hat?
Nobody who was anybody believed it. Everybody who was anybody, they doubted it. Nobody had faith. Nobody, nobody but Washington, Tom Paine, Benjamin Franklin, Chaim Solomon, Crispus Attucks, Lafayette. Nobody.
Nobody's ran a tea party at Boston.
Betsy Ross organized a sewing circle.
Yeah, Paul Revere had a horse race.
And a little ragged group believed it. And some gentlemen and ladies believed it. And some wise men and some fools. And I believed it too. And you know who I am.
Oh, who are you, mister?
Yeah, how come all this?
Well, I'll tell you. Now let me...
No, let us tell you!
Then Mr. Tom Jefferson, a mighty fine man, he wrote it down in a mighty fine plan. The rest all sided with a mighty fine man as they crossed their feet and nodded their eyes. Our grand country did arrive. Our
a mighty fine idea.
Adopted unanimously in Congress, July 4th, 1776.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights.
Among these rights are life.
Yes, sir.
Liberty.
That's right.
And the pursuit of happiness.
Is that what they say?
The very words.
That sure does sound mighty fine.
Building the nation is awful tough. The people found are going rough. The 13 states weren't large enough, so they started to expand.
Still nobody who was anybody believed it. Everybody who was anybody, they stayed home. But Lewis and Clark and the pioneers, driven by hunger, haunted by fears, the Klondike miners and the 49ers, some wanted freedom and some wanted riches. Some liked to loaf while others dug ditches. And I believe it too, and you know who I am.
No, who are you, mister, anyway?
Well, I started to tell you.
Yes, mister, tell us who you are.
You see, I represent the whole of... That's it. That's the idea.
Old Abe Lincoln was thin and long. His heart was high and his faith was strong. But he hated oppression, he hated wrong. And he went down to his grave to free the slave.
November 19th, 1863, at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
And he was right. I believe that, too.
Gee, mister, we still don't know who you are.
Well, I've been trying to tell you. You see... There it is.
The teenage came with a great big roar. As America grew in peace and war.
They say when I am on my way.
Say, will you please tell us who you are?
What's your name, buddy?
Where are you going?
Who are you?
Well, I'm everybody who's nobody. I'm the nobody who's everybody.
What's your racket? What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm an engineer, musician, street cleaner, carpenter, teacher.
How about a farmer?
Also.
Office clerk?
Yes, ma'am.
Mechanic?
That's right.
Housewife?
Certainly.
Factory worker?
You said it.
Stenographer?
Uh-huh.
Beauty specialist?
Absolutely.
Bartender?
Positively.
Truck driver?
Definitely.
I have three sisters.
All of them I am the
etc., and the and so forth that do the work.
Now hold on here. What are you trying to give us?
Are you an American?
Am I an American? I'm just an Irish, Negro, Jewish, Italian, French, and English, Spanish, Russian, Chinese, Polish, Scotch, Hungarian, Litvak, Swedish, Finnish, Canadian, Greek, and Turk, and Czech, and double Czech American. And that ain't all. I was baptized Baptist, Methodist, Congregationalist, Lutheran, Atheist, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Jewish, Presbyterian, Seventh-day Adventist, Mormon, Quaker, Christian, Scientist, and lots more. Strong, our country's young, and her greatest songs are still unsung. From her plains and mountains we have sprung to keep the faith with those who went before.
We know anybody or anybody believe it. We anybody or everybody have the belt.
Out of the cheating, out of the shouting, out of the murders and lynching, out of the windbags, the patriotic spouting, out of uncertainty and doubting, out of the carpet bag and the brass platoon, it will come again. Our marching song will come again. Deep as our valleys, high as our mountains, strong as the people who made it. For I have always believed it, and I believe it now, and you know who I am.
Who are you?
America!
The Ballad for Americans, sung by Paul Robeson. That work was written by Earl Robinson and John Latouche. Robinson was later blacklisted for his communist ties in the 1950s. Unable to find work in Hollywood, he moved to New York to become the music teacher at one of the city's first progressive schools. John Latouche, who also wrote the lyrics to more benign songs like Taking a Chance on Love, was one of the people named on the Red Channels list for his supposed communist ties. Latouche managed to stay above the fray by working mostly in New York, far away from the scrutiny in Hollywood.
I hear those trumpets blow again, all aglow again, taking a chance on love.
In 1951, new hearings before Congress convened about the issue of communism in Hollywood. The lesson people seemed to learn from the 1947 hearings of the Hollywood Ten was that if you refused testimony or refused to name names, then you would be blacklisted from the industry. Except that wasn't always the case. Writer and director Abe Burrows was one of the few who gave in to questioning, admitting that he attended some Communist Party functions in the 40s, and even naming others who attended too. However, just having his name associated with HUAC, or the House Un-American Activities Committee, affected his career. The year before, Burroughs co-wrote the book for the wildly popular musical Guys and Dolls. Guys and Dolls was a shoo-in for the Pulitzer Prize in Drama in 1951, and was even selected by the committee to win the award. However, the trustees at Columbia University, who were ultimately in charge of the Pulitzer Prize, didn't want to be associated with Burroughs, who had just appeared before HUAC. So they decided to give out no award for drama that year. Here's a song from that musical now. This one is also strangely appropriate for this show, because it's all about the status quo trying to keep outsiders in line. Here's Louis Armstrong in 1951 with Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat on Afterglow.
Now look here, don't be singing that pretty music for me. I've learned my lesson, and I ain't ready to go yet. Let me tell you all about it. I dreamed last night I got on a boat to heaven, and by some chance I had brought my dice along. And there I stood, and I hollered, "Someone fed me!" But the passengers, they knew right from wrong. For the people all said, "Sit down,
sit down,
sit down, you're rocking the boat." The people all said, "Sit down,
sit down,
sit down, you're rocking the boat. And devil will drag you under by the sharp lapel of your checkered coat. Sit down,
sit down,
sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat." Now I sailed away on that little boat to heaven, and by some chance found a bottle in my fist. And there I stood, nicely passing out the whiskey. But the passengers were bound to resist. For the people all said, "Beware, you are on a heavenly trip." People all said, "Beware,
beware,
you scuttle the ship. And the devil will drag you under by the fancy tie round your wicked throat. Sit down,
sit down,
sit down, you're rocking the boat." Now as I laugh at those passengers to heaven, a great big wave came and washed me overboard. And as I sank and I hollered, "Someone save me!" That's the moment I woke up. Thank the Lord. And said to myself, "Sit down,
sit down,
sit down, you're rocking the boat." I said to myself, "Sit down,
sit down,
sit down, you're rocking the boat. And the devil will drag you under with soul so heavy you never float. Sit down,
sit down,
sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Sit down,
you're rocking the boat.
Sit down. You're rocking."
Whoa, and I ain't gonna rock it no more.
"Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat," a Decca single from Louis Armstrong in 1951. That song by Frank Lesser is from the 1950 musical Guys and Dolls, a musical that was denied the Pulitzer Prize in Drama in 1951 because the author of the book, Abe Burrows, was associated with the House Un-American Activities Committee hearings. A decade later, however, after the era of McCarthyism, Burroughs ended up winning the Pulitzer Prize in Drama for his musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Coming up after a short break, we'll hear more about how different musicians were affected by the anti-communist blacklist in the 1940s and 50s. Stay with us. Production support for Afterglow comes from Soma Coffee House and Juice Bar, specializing in juices, espressos, and fair trade organic coffee. Serving from downtown at Kirkwood and Grant and on the corner of 3rd and Jordan. Online at iHeartSoma.com. And from Stephen R. Miller, CPA, in downtown Bloomington at Graham Plaza, offering personal and small business income tax preparation and financial reporting, helping clients reach financial goals for over 30 years. 812-332-0557. I'm Mark Chilla, and you're listening to Afterglow.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Afterglow. I'm Mark Chilla. We've been looking at the effect of the Hollywood blacklist on members of the musical community in the 1940s and 50s. Right now, we're listening to Artie Shaw, who was one musician affected by this wave of anti-communism. Shaw was always a supporter of liberal causes. In the late 1930s, his was the first integrated band to tour the Jim Crow South, bringing along Billie Holiday to sing on tour. He fought fascism both in the Navy during World War II and on the home front after the war by using his fame to support anti-fascist causes. Shaw's political views ended up putting him in front of the House Un-American Activities Committee, or HUAC, in 1953. After this incident, Shaw became disillusioned by the entertainment industry in America. Instead of being blacklisted, though, he retired from playing the clarinet and moved to Europe. Artie Shaw wasn't the only socially conscious musician in the crosshairs of HUAC. Lyricist E.Y. or Yip Harburg was unapologetic about his liberal politics and his fight for social justice. Even as early as 1932, Harburg was the lyricist behind the song Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?, a poignant song about the blight of homelessness in the midst of the Great Depression.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower up to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, gee, we look swell, full of that Yankee doodly-dum. Half a million boots went slogging through hell, and I was the kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember, they called me Al. It was Al all the time. Why don't you remember? I'm your pal. Say, buddy, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki.
That was Bing Crosby with his famous version of that Yip Harburg lyric. Like many great songwriters in the 1930s and 40s, Yip Harburg moved to Hollywood, where he found great success, writing lyrics to musicals like The Singing Kid, Ship Ahoy, Cabin in the Sky, and a little film called The Wizard of Oz.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a that I heard of once in a lullaby.
However, in 1947, Harburg's involvement in progressive groups got him blacklisted from the filmmaking industry. He then set his sights on Broadway instead and channeled his political views into his art. His first big hit was the charming musical called Finian's Rainbow, written with composer Burton Lane. Set in a mythical southern town, the work combines magic and realism, all while satirizing racial bigotry, southern politics, and the plight of the poor. Finian's Rainbow was also a wild success, running for over 700 performances and producing such perennial favorites as How Are Things and Glockamora, Look to the Rainbow, and Old Devil Moon.
It's that old devil moon that you stole from the skies. It's that old devil moon in your eyes.
Finian's Rainbow was such a success that in 1954, a cartoon version of it began production. For the voice talent, they brought in an integrated cast of Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, and Louis Armstrong. They all recorded together, along with pianist Oscar Peterson. But because of Yip Harburg's communist ties and the main animator Art Babbitt's support of labor unions, production of the Finian's Rainbow cartoon was halted, supposedly by Walt Disney himself. We do, however, have some of the recordings made by the cast, even though they were never released commercially. Here's Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald in their only duet, performing the song Necessity from Finian's Rainbow on Afterglow.
What is the curse that makes the universe so all bewildering? What is the hoax that just provokes the folks they call God's children? What is the jinx that gives a body and his brothers and everyone around the runaround? Necessity, necessity,
that most unnecessary thing, necessity.
What throws a monkey wrench in a fellow's good intention?
That nasty old invention, necessity. My feet wanna dance in the sun, my head wants to rest in the shade.
The Lord says go out and have fun, but the landlord says your rent ain't paid. Necessity.
Necessity.
It's plain to see.
It's plain to see. What a funny old world this silly old world could be. But man, it's all in a mess, a kind of necessity.
Necessity.
Necessity. There ought to be a law against necessity.
I'd love to play some tennis or take a trip to Venice,
but sister, here's the menace.
Necessity.
Yeah. Old Satan's the father of sin, and Cupid, he's the father of love.
Oh, hell is the father of gin, but no one knows the father of necessity.
Necessity.
Necessity. That's the maximum that a minimum thing could be.
There's nothing lower than less unless it's necessity.
Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, and the Oscar Peterson Trio with Necessity from the failed cartoon version of Finian's Rainbow from 1954. That film was never released because of the blacklist on lyricist Yip Harburg, but you can find that song today on the Sinatra in Hollywood box set. Yip Harburg was unashamed of his political views. In his follow-up to Finian's Rainbow, he dug even deeper into his pro-liberalism, anti-McCarthyism message. The musical was called Flahooly, a satire about a puppet manufacturer that was a conspicuous attack on capitalism and anti-communist fear.
Tiddly-i, tiddly-ay, tiddly all your trouble away. You, too, can be a puppet.
you too can be a puppet.
Man, man, silly man, full of human folly. Why be brave, old fan, Ku Klux Klan, when you can be Kukla, Fran, and Ollie?
Tiddly-i, tiddly-dee, you can be just as happy as we. Be a puppet, not an old friend.
Come out of the woodwork, brother.
And join the brotherhood of man.
The brotherhood of man.
Flahouli starred Barbara Cook in her Broadway debut, but the show was a spectacular flop, mostly because the plot was too complicated and the political message was too broad. Yip Harburg's next musical, Jamaica, from 1957, was much more successful. The musical still managed to incorporate a liberal political message, but it was much more subtle. The success of Jamaica had much to do with its star, Lena Horne. Among the critics in New York, Horne was universally praised. But out in Hollywood, Horne, the former film star, had been blacklisted for her civil rights activism and her support of communist organizations. Here's a track from the cast album of Jamaica. Lena Horne with Yip Harburg and Harold Arlen's Ain't It the Truth on Afterglow.
Life is short, short, brother. Ain't it the truth? And there is no other. Ain't it the truth? You got to rock that rainbow while you still got your youth. Ain't it the solid truth? Was a guy named Adam. Ain't it the truth? Said, now, look here, madam. Ain't it the truth? You got to bite that apple while you still got your tooth. Ain't it the mellow truth? Lord gave us wine and gin to drown our troubles in. What's all this talk of sin? Rise and shine and fall in line. Get that new religion. Ain't it the truth? For you is dead pigeon. Ain't it the truth? 'Cause when you laid horizontal in that telephone booth, there'll be no breathing spell. It's only natural. Ain't it the gospel truth? Life is short, short, brother. Ain't it the truth? And there is no other. Ain't it the truth? So if you don't love living, then you're slightly uncouth. Ain't it the dignified truth? Said that gal to Barry. Ain't it the truth? Love is cash and carry. Ain't it the truth? You got to shake it down or mix it up with vermouth. Ooh, ain't it the visible, visible truth? Life is a rippling brook. Man is a fish to cook. You got to bait your hook. Rise and shine and cast your line. You got to get your possum. Ain't it the truth? While you're still in blossom, ain't it the truth that went for Delilah, Cleopatra and Ruth? Them babes did mighty swell. They rang that Jezebel.
the truth, it's the solid mellow truth.
Lena Horne with Ain't It the Truth, from the musical Jamaica by Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg. Horne had actually performed that same song in the 1943 MGM film Cabin in the Sky. That was before both Horne and Harburg were blacklisted from Hollywood. Between 1947 and 1960, thanks to the fear brought about by Senator Joe McCarthy, the House Un-American Activities Committee, and the Screen Actors Guild with its former president Ronald Reagan, the Hollywood blacklist was holding strong. The blacklist affected screenwriters, songwriters, actors, composers, and broadcasters in every corner of the entertainment industry. Countless people were denied employment or fired from their jobs, including the pianist we're hearing right now, Hazel Scott, whose television show was canceled after she appeared before HUAC. By 1960, however, the foundations of the blacklist were beginning to crack. It was revealed that screenwriter Dalton Trumbo, one of the Hollywood Ten, had been working all along under various pseudonyms. In 1960, he was given credit for writing the Kirk Douglas film Spartacus, and then he was hired to write the film Exodus for director Otto Preminger. Inspired by Preminger's move, none other than Frank Sinatra stepped forward to hire his old friend Albert Maltz to work on a new film with him. Maltz, if you recall, was another one of the Hollywood Ten, and he and Sinatra had worked together 15 years earlier on The House I Live In. Sinatra wanted Maltz to write a new screenplay for a film called The Execution of Private Slovak, all about the only U.S. soldier in World War II executed for desertion. This move by Sinatra was the very first time that a major star had publicly broken the blacklist. Now, Sinatra was his own boss at this point, so he had no fear of the bigwigs in Hollywood, nor did he seem to care about condemnation from the Hollywood press, or right-wing actors like John Wayne, or even sponsors like General Motors. But what he did care about was his connection to John F. Kennedy.
Everyone is voting for Jack, 'cause he's got what all the rest lack. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. 1960's the year.
Sinatra was connected to Kennedy's presidential campaign in 1960. And a connection to a communist didn't bode well for the senator's bid. According to Peter Lawford, who was a member of Sinatra's Rat Pack and JFK's brother-in-law, when pressure came down from the Kennedys, Sinatra ended up dropping Maltz from the project. While Sinatra and Maltz never ended up working together, his public denouncement of the Hollywood blacklist marked its death knell. Within a year, the Hollywood blacklist was no more. Sinatra and JFK, for their part, remained unscathed. JFK won the presidency in November, and Sinatra's album Nice and Easy, released amid all this Albert Maltz chaos, spent 9 weeks on the Billboard charts. To close off this hour, here's Frank Sinatra with the title track from that album now, on Afterglow.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey, baby, what's your hurry? Relax and don't you worry. We're gonna fall in love. We're on the road to romance, that's safe to say. But let's make all the stops along the way. The
problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime, 'cause nice and easy does it every time. We're on the road to romance, that's safe to say, but let's make all stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime, 'cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it.
Frank Sinatra with Nelson Riddle's Orchestra in 1960, performing Nice and Easy, a song by Alan Bergman, Marilyn Keith, and Lou Spence. And thanks for tuning into this Great American Songbook Blacklist edition of Afterglow. Afterglow is part of the educational mission of Indiana University and produced by WFIU Public Radio in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. Production support for Afterglow comes from Soma Coffee House and Juice Bar, specializing in juices, espressos, and fair trade organic coffee. Serving from downtown at Kirkwood and Grant and on the corner of 3rd and Jordan. Online at iHeartSoma.com. And from Stephen R. Miller CPA in downtown Bloomington at Graham Plaza, offering personal and small business income tax preparation and financial reporting, helping clients reach financial goals for over 30 years. 812-332-0557. I'm Mark Chilla, and join me next week for our mix of vocal jazz and popular song from the Great American Songbook, here on Afterglow.